This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 14th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Expanding health care for those who can't afford insurance has been a main initiative for Governor Rod Blagojevich. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, health services took a hit in the cuts he made to balance the state budget.
Nobody who relies on government-backed health care was kicked off it, but nonetheless, Blagojevich trimmed nearly $600 million that was supposed to pay for Medicaid services. That means it will take longer for the state to pay back nursing homes, doctors, and hospitals for the services they provide. Howard Peters of the Illinois Hospital Association says Illinois is already slow to reimburse, often taking more than 100 days. He predicts that now it could take nearly a year after caring for a Medicaid patient for hospitals to get back what they're owed.
It becomes potentially an unmanageable situation where critical purchases that could improve patient quality have to be postponed.
A spokeswoman for the governor says the payment cycle under the new budget will be 3 months. Peter says he has no idea how Blagojevich's office could come up with that short a timeline. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Governor Blagojevich is rewriting a House bill so autism treatments are covered by insurance. Blagojevich and other proponents want insurance companies to be required to cover up to $36,000 a year for diagnosis and treatment, including speech therapy and psychiatric services. The bill would require insurance companies to pay for doctor visits until a child is 21. The insurance industry has challenged similar mandates, claiming they lead to rising health insurance costs. Blagojevich announced his bill revisions yesterday in Chicago. The bill now goes to the House. Autism advocate Peter Disciani says his family has spent about $80,000 on autism treatments for his daughter. The governor's office says about 26,000 Illinois children have autism. The governor is taking heat for well over $1 billion in spending he cut from the Illinois budget, but there are some who say the governor made the right decision, as Sean Crawford reports.
If there's not enough money, the state should reduce how much it spends. That's according to House lawmaker Randy Ramey. The DuPage County Republican says the General Assembly passed a budget that was way out of balance, and something has to give.
Obviously, there are parts of it where we were looking for increased funding, but if it doesn't happen, the state is not gaining any revenue, so you can't increase spending.
Ramey describes himself as a conservative. He says spending beyond what the state can afford sets up the public for a tax hike, which he opposes. The Illinois House will return to the Capitol this week to consider restoring some of the governor's reductions and possibly to add some revenue through shifting money from dedicated accounts. One budget analysis found 70% of the governor's cuts were to areas where spending was set to increase above last year's amounts. I'm Sean Crawford.
University of Illinois police have issued an advisory to the campus community following a sexual assault and battery that occurred early Sunday morning. Officers say a 19-year-old woman was attacked between 3 and 4 a.m. yesterday in the parking lot of the 1800 block of South Lincoln Avenue. The suspect is described as a white male in his 20s with short brown hair, a tall and lanky build, and having a southern accent. Officers say the suspect was seen driving a grayish-green conversion van with gray interior and drapes in its cabin windows. Anyone with information is urged to call U of I Police's Investigation Division or Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. U of I Interim Director of Public Safety Jeff Christensen has issued a series of safety advisories. He reminds anyone walking through campus to travel in groups, stay in well-lit areas, and to avoid drug or alcohol use that could cloud judgment or reaction time. He says if anyone is confronted by an attacker, they should pay attention to physical characteristics. And if someone is robbed, not to hand over their wallet or purse, but to throw it at the offender and run in the other direction, if possible. Illinois drivers need to be careful around emergency vehicles or risk a ticket from authorities who have stepped up enforcement of a 2002 law. More than 1,770 tickets have been handed out to motorists so far this year by Illinois State Police troopers. State Police Sergeant Juan Valenzuela says there's a push to make sure motorists follow the law. It requires drivers to change lanes when they approach an emergency vehicle with flashing lights on the shoulder. If it isn't safe to pass, they have to slow down. Last year, motorists were tagged with 3,738 citations. In 2005, only 74 tickets were issued. The law is named for a Chicago Fire Department lieutenant killed in 2000 when he was crushed against a fire truck by a car at an accident scene. The Green Party wrapped up its national convention in Chicago Sunday. Tony Arnold reports on what some of the party's supporters got out of the four-day event.
Several hundred Greens from around the country came to Chicago for the convention. Aside from nominating a presidential candidate, the party also put on a number of workshops to help political candidates learn the ropes of running a successful campaign. Joel West came in from Houston, Texas. He ran for Congress 6 years ago, but didn't get even 1% of the vote. West says the convention was good for networking with like-minded Greens.
You feel sort of isolated even with an active local group. You're not a very large percentage of that community. But to come here and find people from all over the country who believe more or less the same as you, it recharges your battery for another year.
The party nominated former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney for president. In her acceptance speech, McKinney told supporters she hopes the party can get at least 5% of the vote this November. I'm Tony Arnold.
The force of June's record flooding on the Wabash River created a new island that's left about a dozen Indiana farmers cut off from some of their cropland. Posey County's Emergency Management Agency Director Larry Robb says the change in the river's course carved a channel that created an island that's at least 2,000 acres in size. Robb estimates that the river has shortened its course by at least 6 miles because the channel created a bypass around miles of the river's meandering course. Congressman Brad Ellsworth toured the area yesterday with the farmers in far southwestern Indiana who are now cut off from some of their cropland. He says it's a devastating situation for those farmers who were already reeling from flood damage to their crops. Ellsworth promised to make those funds available to the farmers in a timely and efficient manner. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Summer, and that means that many tattoos that were hidden away for the winter have reappeared. As commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, it's an open question whether those tattoos have meaning in a legal sense.
There's this show on cable TV that follows tattoo artists in their daily lives, which means that viewers get to see a lot of tattooing. And there's a question these tattoo artists frequently ask their customers. What does your tattoo mean to you? The answer is often poignant. The tattoo is in memory of a relative who died, or a symbol of some obstacle overcome. The non-poignant ones include scary skulls and pretty koi fish, but hey, it's all about individual expression, right? A tattoo, then, could absolutely be seen as a form of speech. And if you conjure up the Constitution, originally graced with elaborate "We the People" cursive that would make many a tattoo artist blue-green with envy, you'll recall that the First Amendment promises that type of freedom. Knowing that, you might wonder how it is that there are restrictions against tattoos and tattooing. Illinois, for one, has a fairly new statute that makes it a crime for any tattoo artist to tattoo a minor, even if that minor has a parent's permission and wants something more tasteful than individual letters of a swear word forever imprinted on the knuckles. The statute makes it a Class A misdemeanor for anyone to tattoo or even offer to tattoo anyone under the age of 18. Just last month, authorities in Springfield announced that a local man had been charged with violating that statute. If Illinois outlaws all tattoos for minors, even those undertaken with parental permission, might both freedom of speech and freedom of the parents to make appropriate decisions for their children be implicated, and might the law be unconstitutional? The problem is that not all courts agree about the constitutionality inherent in tattooing and tattoos. In 1980, a Minnesota court found no showing that a normal observer or even the recipient would regard the process of injecting dye into a person's skin through the use of needles as communicative expression. 4 years later, an Indiana court wrote that all courts that had decided the issue rejected the notion that tattooing was speech or symbolic speech. That same year, a court in Delaware upheld an anti-tattooing ordinance on those grounds. Ditto in South Carolina in 2002, and a federal trial court in Chicago just this past March differentiated between the tattoo itself and the tattooing process in finding no First Amendment protection for an act that it said is not intended to convey a particularized message. But things could be changing. A Massachusetts court reiterated in 2007 its earlier holding that tattooing is First Amendment-protected expression. 10 years before, a federal appeals court seemed to say that at least some tattoos deserve constitutional protection. And since some courts have relied at least partly on the notion that tattoos mean nothing, those tattoo TV shows that highlight tattoos with meaning and poignant discussions between tattooer and tattooee during the tattooing process could swing some judges around. If you go to one Chicago tattoo shop's website and click on the Happy Customers link, you'll see a photo of a young man obligingly holding his head up to reveal the word goon in giant capital letters emblazoned on his neck. There's also a picture of a devilish-looking man whose entire face appears to be blue-green from tattoos. But as much as the viewer might like to hear their answers to the "what does your tattoo mean to you" question, they're not likely to allow that sort of speech on TV. But that's another legal issue entirely. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, clear skies tonight, the low around 58 degrees, sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 88. Mostly clear skies tomorrow night, the low around 65, sunny skies Wednesday, the high around 90. Mostly clear Wednesday night and Thursday, we'll have lows around 65 and the highs around 90. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WILL.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.